Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Woman to woman,
woman to woman,
songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman, yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Tonight, I tell you, woo, we are ready to go.
We've been having such a good time of fellowship and worship, and so we are praying that what we bring to you all tonight will bring revelation to you. It will bring a sense of freedom from different issues that you may be dealing with. And at the very least, it will sow seeds of just who God is and how God can work in your life, and just a sense of freedom, again, from all that you are going through this evening. So we pray that you have your pens ready, you have your paper ready, and you just hear, you're able to hear what God wants you to get this evening.
Amen.
Out of this show.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. Guys, I tell you, with everything that's going on,
mm-hmm.
and some of us haven't, is not aware of all that's going on, I tell you, whatever you give your attention to, that spirit will come and live inside of you. I'm going to repeat that. Whatever you give your attention to, that spirit will come and live inside of you. I don't care what it is, if it's another person, a place, a thing, TV, whatever. I've been trying not to, but we got a lot that's going on in the earth right now. This election thing, everywhere you turn, there's discord. And it says anytime, you know, strife and confusion, it tells us it's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not of God. And so we know right now there's some ungodly things that's going on in the earth realm, and many of us, you know, we're in fear. You know, there's people that's in fear. And I like a definition I once heard that describes fear. False evidence appearing to be real.
Yeah.
Fear, false evidence appearing to be real. And so when you are connected directly, vertically with your Father, our Father, then guess what? He did not give us a spirit of fear. And so anyway, I'm going to get away from that. But tonight, the question proposed was, can a woman's temperament save her household? As you know, we've been on a journey with women of the Bible, and we've done Esther, and we've done Mary, and
we've done so many.
Rahab.
Now it's Abigail. We did
Yes.
too.
And we have been trying to do Abigail for 3 weeks. And for whatever reason, we've just been walking away. So tonight we're going to talk about Abigail. Minister LaDon is going to get into some stuff, but I think I want to break down the story real quick just so you'll know who Abigail is. Abigail was during the time of David. And this is when David had not become king officially. You know, God had told him that's what the plan was, but he had not become the king. And Saul was still the king, and Saul was running David was running from Saul, and he was hiding in caves and different things. And so anyway, God would have it that he would go into the land, and whoever he came, they knew he was David, so he was going to get favor. Remember, he had slew the Goliath, you know, and he was killing up armies, and he was getting favor, and that's what made Saul jealous. Well, anyway, he came upon this gentleman by the name of Nabal.
Mm-hmm.
We all didn't have some Nabals in our lives. We have had some Nabals. So anyway, he came upon, he sent his men to go to Nabal and said, we need water, we need this, and this. You need to give it to us in essence. And Nabal was a egotistic man. He was a man that was full of pride, and he was a man that you weren't going to come and get nothing from him. He wasn't going to give up anything. And I'm just breaking it down because we all have had some Nabals in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was a haughty man. And anyway, he said no. And when he got back to King David said, he said no to me. And in essence, King David had already gathered his men. They were going to come. They weren't just going to kill Nabal. They were going to kill Nabal. They were going to kill Abigail. They were going to kill everybody in their household. He was going to take them out. And all the men. Yes. He was going to kill men, women, and children. Probably. Was it just the men?
It was just the men.
He was going to kill all the men in the household. And Abigail stepped in with her temperament. and she was a man, and it states in the Bible that Abigail was a woman that was intelligent. Now, in the Old Testament, it speaks about various women, but the word intelligent has never been used. So she was a woman of intelligence. She was clever. It named all, she was beautiful. And so it named all these things that Abigail was. And so as a result of her having this, and she was beautiful, she was intelligent, she was clever, she was of good understanding, and she was married to a wealthy, hot-headed, arrogant man.
Which is really interesting. You know, I can't wait to break this open. When you opened by talking about leadership, and we're definitely discussing Abigail, but you opened talking about leadership and where our country is going today. And one of the things that really excites me about the story about Abigail was that her husband was her leader. She was under her husband's leadership, and that she didn't agree with everything that her husband did. But although she didn't agree with everything that her husband did, or, you know, some of his ways, she still submitted herself under his leadership. And when she found that he did something that could cause ruin to their household, she didn't go against her husband, but she did go out to support to make sure her household still stood. And so that just excited me, because that's, you know, a time that we're in today where we may not be in agreement with our leadership or some of the things or some of the ideas or ways of our leadership, but this is still a time to support and submit to the leadership that is over us and to really be in prayer. And so, again, that's why I got a little excited about this story of Abigail.
You know, as you might see, those listening in, this is going to go in a different direction, and we're going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, because as you spoke that, I immediately seen our parties, you know, our electoral parties as Nabal, and I seen God as David, and I see us, the people of God, as Abigail. What are you saying, Coach D? What I'm saying is that Abigail prayed and she petitioned to David, you know, to get favor with David, to submit and give David what David wanted in order to save lives. Now, one life had to be lost, because she eventually lost her husband. But look at all the other lives she saved. And as you said that, I've seen us, the Abigail, the people of God, the women of God, we got a petition before God on behalf of Nabal. We got a petition to God on behalf of our electoral officials.
Wow.
And it ain't just Donald. It's Hillary. It's Barack. And it's any other senator, governor, congressperson, mayors, all of these electoral officials that we know are out there, and they're not operating in a spirit of character, integrity, and accountability. We know that they're not Christians in action. And so it's up to us, the people of God, the women of God, to begin to petition. And I'm saying this, keeping in mind, I'm symbolically saying David, but Abigail had to petition to David. She had to go to David and petition for favor. Because she knew that her husband was not operating as a CIA man. We know often that our electoral officials are not operating as CIA people. And we got to petition. We're not supposed to get angry at this time. We're not supposed to shut down, turn cold, get rebellious, because that's not God. But we got to petition God for these people so that that God could change their hearts, because God got the ability to change hearts. He dictated Pharaoh's heart.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and as you were saying that, and And again, this is related to so much of what we're going through in the world today, not just with the electoral, with the election that we just had, but it's related to our daily lives as well, because when we find ourselves in situations of challenge, of situations of turmoil, the first thing we want to do is start panicking. And one of the things that I love about Abigail, that she was a woman of understanding, she was a woman of intelligence. And so we have to begin to start understanding the situations that we're in. We have to stop bemoaning and stop panicking. You know, I'm going to relate it to the election, and I'm going to relate it to personal lives too. Soon as you go through a challenge at work, soon as you go through a challenge in your relationships, you might be going through challenges with your children. The first thing you start doing is getting upset, getting hot-headed, and going off. When people, a lot of people found out about the election, they got upset. They went off. They're rushing to, you know, social media and sharing how upset and angry they are. But when it comes to true exercising your true intelligence, exercising your understanding, you have to get to a place of taking yourself to a quiet zone and saying, what's going on and why, and how do I work in this situation? And I relate that especially with children. I'm going to relate that to our relationships with our children. There may be somebody who's listening tonight who it seems like your children are just not listening. They don't listen to you. You've lost all control, per se, over your children. And you're like, you've been arguing, you've been fighting, trying to keep control. I'm the mom, I'm the dad. And, you know, just going off instead of getting to this place where you say, okay, what is the real situation at hand? How do I understand this situation that we are in, and how do I come to a place of being able to resolve this situation?
Mm.
You know, a lot of times the first thing we want to do is kick our kids out. You can't listen to me, you got to go, because you're not going to be in my house and not listen to me. Same thing with the election. That's not my president. That's not going to be my president. Oh, I'm moving out of America. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You're throwing out the bathwater with the baby.
Mm.
You have to come to a place where you say, what's going on and how do I work in this situation? What is my role in this situation? How do I resolve this situation? And again, it could be your relationship. A lot of relationships are failing right now. Even a lot of relationships with Christ as our leader are failing right now, because as soon as they see something that doesn't look right, they start panicking, they go off, they want to turn, they want to run, they want to hide, instead of saying, let me come to a place of understanding. And that's what Abigail did. Her servant came to her. When we talk about the story of Abigail and Nabal, and, you know, David sent servants to Nabal to ask for him to help feed his people, who had helped protected Nabal's sheep and helped protecting Nabal's belongings, and Nabal mocked David. And David was mocked, and he was angry, and he said, you know what, come nightfall, not one man of his household will be standing. Abigail, one of her servants came to her and said, you know what, Nabal just mocked David, and I know this is going to bring ruin to us. Instead of rushing to Nabal and going off on Nabal, she sent her servant ahead of her, and she said, you know, I have to do something to resolve this situation. I have to appease this situation. She started gathering things to give David what he came and asked for, and she pleaded for the state of her household.
Mm.
She petitioned for the state of her household, just like you said. And so, again, a lot of times as women, we're so emotional, and we want to react first, instead of taking the time to contemplate and then act. And so that's why I really love this story of Abigail, because it's saying, don't rush off hastily.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hastily deal with the situation. Start dealing with stop dealing with things emotionally and start dealing with things with the understanding that God has given you, with the knowledge that God has given you. Start making sure that you're using your wisdom when you are in situations that may be not so good for you, not so good for your family. But make sure you are using wisdom. Don't get caught up in what's going on around you. Don't get caught up in the emotions of the world today. But really utilize the resources and the tools that God has given you so that you can master your situation better.
Well, you know, she could have been part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
Or she could have been part of the solution. You said it clearly. Because how many of us women, and I'm talking about from a natural standpoint, how many of us women don't use wisdom?
Uh-huh.
How many of us, I'm trying to think of some situations. Let's keep it real. I'm trying to think of some situations, relationships I've been in.
Uh-huh.
And I know my man was out of order.
Mm-hmm.
I know what he was doing was going to cause us calamity.
Mm-hmm.
I know what he was doing was going to cost us
mm-hmm.
something. You know, how many of us been in relationships and marriage? Let me talk marriages because that's strong because that's when, you know, how many of us been in marriages where our husbands may have was making a decision you knew was wrong, like they don't want to file taxes, but you're married, you know what I'm saying, and you normally file joint, or they didn't want to pay a bill. And you knew it was going to end up in collections or whatever the case may be. And the first thing we do is start running our mouth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we agree, which is still wrong, or either we start yapping.
Yeah.
Abigail could have did two things. One, she could have said, I'm standing with my man. I'm standing with him. He said, no, you can't have it, and no, you can't have it. She could have been haughty. She could have been a Jezebel,
mm-hmm.
a sapphire, and she could have caused death to come upon her household. She could have went to David and said, we said you're not going to have it, and how dare you threaten my husband. You can't be threatening my husband because now I'm the ride or die chick. Now you're going to have to take both of us out. And guess what? They both get taken out because we didn't operate in wisdom or we didn't operate it, you know, we didn't come from an intellect standpoint.
I love what you just said right now, and I'm going to just, you know, break it open a little bit more. How many of us have been in a relationship and we know that relationship is ending or that relationship needs to end, and we're doing everything that we can to fight and hold on to it instead of operating in wisdom? You keep having this open door of being able to walk out of the relationship, and every time the door opens, you start arguing and fussing and fighting. Well, how come you acted like that in the first place? And I thought we were going to make this work, and you know that you need to let the relationship go.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of operating in wisdom, instead of operating in understanding, you want to become bitter. You want to become angry. You want to become hurt. You want to become the victim. But you have been praying and praying and praying, Lord, I don't want to keep going through this. I don't want to keep dealing with this every day. This person doesn't understand. This person doesn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
And the open door comes about. And instead of taking the security of the open door, you don't operate in the wisdom that God has given you. You don't sit down and you don't contemplate. You become emotional. And that emotion, what I love about Abigail is that she did not become emotional. That emotional peace is what takes us to ruin. Nabal was upset. How dare you come ask me for anything? Who are you to ask me for anything? And Abigail was to be able to remain unemotional.
Yeah.
She was able to say, you know what, this is what I understand to be so. And so as women, we need to make sure that we are not continuously always coming from a place of becoming so overly emotional about everything, and that we can come from a place of understanding. I just use that example because it ties into when God has given us a place of release, a place of how to step out of that ruin that was caused. And we decide to stay in that ruin. Abigail decided, I don't want to stay in this ruin. I don't want to sit ye here and die. I want to live. And I would love for my husband to live, so I'm going to go over here and I'm going to petition, and I'm going to make sure that I do all that I can to make us live.
And I'm sure, you know, as you're saying that, I am sure that when Abigail went to petition on behalf of her husband, Abigail probably had no clue that her husband was going to die.
No, she didn't.
I'm sure she had no clue, because she thought that because she took David's men, what they asked for, even though it was against her husband's will, she took them what they asked for, and she made sure that they had plenty of food and water and everything that they had asked for, she took to them. And I'm sure when she took that, she thought that would be enough that she was acting on behalf of her husband, and that was going to be enough to keep her husband from dying. How many of us know that sometimes in everything we do may not be enough to stop the other person from suffering the consequences of sin?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
How many of us wives know that why it's so important to marry someone that you're equally yoked with? It's important because your petition may not always be enough to save him
or her if men are
from the calamity. Of the consequence of sin. Our children, how many of us as mothers, and we beckon and we cry and we pray and we believe for our children because we don't want them to have to go through nothing we went through, and we're constantly trying to protect them. And I'm not saying that prayer don't work, and I'm not saying that prayer can't change things around, and I'm not saying that prayer is not the key. But what I'm saying is, how many of us know, and we've experienced it, we've seen it, we've seen mamas who petitioned, and it didn't stop their son from getting caught up in the shootout because he was made a choice to gang bang, or get their kids, it didn't stop their kids from getting into a calamity because they decided to drink and drive. And we always want to say, and a lot of times if we're not careful, we'll blame that on God. But we can't blame God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can't blame God, even though we made our petition known. We can't blame God when people are making choices. Nabal made the choice. He had a chance. Because if I'm not mistaken, in the story went, even after he said no, 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 I think his wife went back to him and said, honey, let's do this. Be wise, be smart. And he still didn't want to.
Well, what happened was Abigail took it upon herself to, you know, go and appease the situation. And after that, she went back and told Nabal, and they had a feast. And Nabal is thinking, okay, I've escaped this ruin. We don't have to be worried. But even after that, even though David had allowed him to live and didn't carry out his threat, God caused Nabal to fall, and God took Nabal from this earth, and so Nabal died. And so, you know, when we, again, taking it back to situations that we're in and we get so panicky and we don't operate the way that we are supposed to be operating, doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, if you she decided, again, that she didn't want to be ruined. She said, let me do everything I can to make sure that we're not ruined. Nabal was still doing the same old thing he'd been doing. He never went back and apologized or anything. He never tried to, you know, appease the situation or amend the situation. He was just being him, doing him.
Mm.
And he still died. Like you said, even though Abigail had petitioned, he still died. And so I'm saying that to say, again, when we get into these situations, when we get into these challenges, that people can stay who they are, doing what they're doing, and you can sit there and argue with them and try and hold on to these things and die with them, or you can live. So even when you take it and you associate it with where we are today in this country, we can sit here and complain and moan, and we can sit here and die. Or we can start doing some things that we know that we're called to do so that we can live. We can begin to start our businesses. God may have called some of our listeners to start a business.
Yes.
And he's been telling you, start that business, start that business, start that business. And we've been thinking that we have all the time in the world. He may have been telling you, start a nonprofit. He may have been telling you to get into politics. He may have been telling you to educate your children better. But whatever it is, do what God is calling you to do. Don't get caught up in the emotions. Don't get caught up in what's going on around you and become all emotional about that and sit here and die.
You know, and that's so true. One of the things that came to mind when you were saying that is, even with this situation, the end result of the situation is Nabal kept doing Nabal. And Abigail continued to petition and pray and do what God called her to do. She took action. She didn't just pray and petition. She took David's people the food. She took David's people the water. She prayed. She took them. It was action. Her faith was in action. She was moving. She was doing. I'm going to tell us, people of God, people of God, people of God, do what God called you to do, like Minister Ladon said. If it was to start a business, start a business. If it's to start a ministry, start a ministry. But don't get it twisted. And what I mean by don't get it twisted is that the only reason you start in a business, the only reason you start in a ministry, the only reason you start in a nonprofit is for the glory of God. And if you're starting it for any other reason than that, it's a wash. It's a wash because it's for the glory of God. Had Abigail, the people of God, not have petitioned to David, God, then guess what? They would have been done. I say this to say that even though she petitioned and it cost Nabal electoral officials their life, guess what happened with Abigail? With the part of the story you don't know, people of God, women of God, is that because she did what the Spirit of God told her to do, her husband died, she saved the whole household, but not only that, she became David's wife.
She ended up marrying the king.
She ended up marrying the king, became his wife, living it. She didn't miss a beat. She, you know, they say Nabal was a rich man. He was wealthy. She didn't miss a beat. She went from foolish wealth to wealth of the wise.
Store it up.
And I'm going to tell you something. Take this as a word. In this time, what we're going through, don't be confused about what you see, because what you see is temporal. It's subject to change. Don't be confused assuming nothing. Don't be confused, because if we keep our eyes on the confusion, then we'll miss the purpose. If we keep our eyes on the adversity, then we'll miss the equal or greater reward. If we don't take a bet, grace is to be recognized,
remember,
recognized, and taken advantage of. We are in a position right now, and this is not Coach D. I believe that this is the Spirit of God. I believe that this is a prophetic word. Right now, don't get confused with what's going on. We are in a position for the next few years to be in abundance. We as believers, right now, God said that he's laying up the wealth of the righteous, of the wicked for the righteous. I'm telling you, this is the season. It has arrived. Take advantage of it. Stop being hateful in our hearts and stop, not hateful, but stop being scared of what you see right now. Because I'm telling you, if you don't pay attention, you're going to miss it. This is going to be a good season for many, but it's not for you to be playing with. It's not for you to be finagling with. This is a time for you to build your storehouses. This is a time for you to do what God called you to do. This is a time and a season that not only are we got to use our talents and our skills for harvest. We got to use our talents and our skills to tell people about the purpose, which is Jesus. This is that time. This is what we've been reading about for years. This is what our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents been reading about for years. It's prophetic. It's in the Word of God. And I know that a lot of us don't even, you know, we don't get into that stuff. They got audio. They got the Word on audio. If you don't like to read, get the audio and just play it. Listen to the Word of God. This is the mind of God. This is the season. This is spiritual. And I'm not talking about just, I'm talking about relationship. And I'm saying this, that this is a good season. Me saying this, if this is just Coach D, then you won't see a good season. But I believe that this is a good season. I believe God is saying this is a good season, that some of the things that we've just been believing and reading is getting ready to manifest in the earth. Don't miss it. Don't miss it.
You know, as you said all of that, one of the things that popped into my mind or stood out for me is that Abigail positioned herself. She not only positioned herself, but she positioned her household. And so with her temperament, with her utilizing her temperament, utilizing her wisdom, utilizing her patience, utilizing her understanding, she was able to position herself not only, like you said, to live, but also to gain wealth or live more abundantly, which is what God says his heart for us is to have life and life more abundant. And so during this time, during this season, no matter what you're facing, if it's the state of the economy, state of the world, if it's the state of your relationship with a mate, if it's the state of your relationship on your job, if it's the state of your relationship with your children, now is the time to position yourself to receive and to receive in abundance. So instead of arguing with your child and making it to where you guys can't even talk and you guys can't even work things out, position yourself, because that child is going to come back and turn back to you and come back to you asking for advice. All you have to do is sit back and position yourself. If it's on your job and your boss is giving you a hard time, but you know you coming through the door late or you coming through the door not doing everything that you're supposed to do, position yourself to keep your job. If it's that you're not supposed to stay in that job, position yourself to change your job. Are you looking for another job? Are you doing your daily due diligence to receive what God has for you to receive? Or are you just sitting back saying, well, I know I need a new job. I know I need more money. And then every time it's time for you to go on the internet and look for jobs, you find yourself playing games on the internet, or you find yourself going on Facebook, or you find yourself looking at new clothes on the internet. You know what I'm saying? Begin to position yourself to receive all of it, all it is that God has you to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes to the state of economy, I'm going to push. Position yourself in education, through education, position yourself through business, position yourself through aligning yourself with different people who have businesses, position yourself with your chamber, your city, join the Chamber of Commerce. Make sure your household is positioned.
Woo, yes, indeed. You know, Proverbs 13:22, it says, and you said, and the reason I'm going to read this, because I said something earlier about laying up the wealth, I mean, about laying up the wealth of the wicked for the righteous, but that's not the scripture, meaning that's not all to that scripture. Mm-hmm. Then you start talking about positioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the scripture that comes up. And it's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. And I'm going to read it out of King James. And it says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
Mm.
I want us to hear that, because all what we've been talking tonight, Abigail, when we talk about good man, but good woman, good man, she was a good woman. And she knew she had to position herself in her household. So she, in other words, she left an inheritance to not just her children, but her children's children.
Mm-hmm.
And the wealth of the sinner, Nabal, is laid up for the just.
Mm.
So I'm saying in this time, that scripture is something to consider. When we get angry, when we get scared, when we get afraid of what's going on, consider that whatever wicked is going on, that's okay. You know why it's okay? Because this battle is not yours.
Mm-hmm.
This don't belong to you.
Mm.
And God, this is not, God's never sent, he never told you to go. And he didn't, David didn't go and kill the people. God, this is not your battle.
Mm-hmm.
This matter of fact, the battle's already won. At least that's what the Word of God tells us. So when we operate in a spirit that's negative, especially as it pertains to things we don't understand, what we're in essence telling God is, I don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust you, because how could this happen? Believe me, nothing that happened in this earth happens unless God allows it to happen.
Mm.
So I don't care who you vote for. You got the right to vote, and if you feel like that's your right to vote, vote. But I don't care who you vote for, what you do. Nothing can happen that God does not allow to happen. So we got to trust our Father. And sometimes we don't understand. And the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with this Proverbs, I think, 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In other words, Donald is elected president, and guess what? We may not understand it. I wouldn't understand it if Hillary was. I may not understand how the whole political arena runs. But it don't matter that I don't understand it. I don't have no desire to really understand it. What I have a desire to do is to trust in the Lord with all I am, to acknowledge him in all my ways, even at the polls, even at the store, even wherever I am, I want to acknowledge him. I want to trust him that everything that's taking place is because it has been predestined from the foundation of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I believe through faith that I am written in the Lamb's Book of Life by faith. Don't we know that logic is in rebellion to faith? Logic is based on the five senses, what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we touch. Logic. But God said in Hebrew 1, now faith is the substance of things hope for, faith, and the evidence of things not seen. Can you see where logic is in rebellion to faith? And we as believers, oftentimes because we're in the flesh, we want to look at everything logically. Logically, Donald Trump was not a, he wasn't a, He wasn't the logical candidate. He didn't have the experience. It looks like he definitely had a past. He may have a spirit of arrogance. He may even appear to be a little racist. We could go down the list, and we could go down the list with all of them, because guess what? Campaigning is just that. When Obama was campaigning, you should have heard the things he had to say about Hillary. You get what I'm saying? We get caught up in the rapture. We get caught up in the moment. And it's campaigning. These people are not going to lose any sleep, whether we like them or not. And guess what? These people sit down and eat together when it's all said and done, because it's campaigning. It's a game. And when you have games, you have teams. And some teams win and some teams lose. And we can't go around beating up somebody because they're not a Raiders fan. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We can't go around beating up somebody because they're not a Dodgers fan. We can't go around beating up somebody because they're not a Hillary fan. We can't just go around doing that. It's called sore sportsmanship. It's sore sportsmanship. We can't do that. And we really should not be doing it as believers. Mm. Whether we like it, don't like it, agree or don't agree, we should never, we should never, and I'm talking to the woman because this show is woman to woman, we should never, ever allow situations and circumstances, and I'm not saying it don't happen, but I'm saying let's keep this in our mind. We are queens. We are daughters of the Most High. Our Abba Father, which is in heaven, he looks at us as his jewels, as his diamonds. Mm-hmm. And we should not let any world event or anything else in our life cause us to come up out of our crown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I know, anybody that knows Coach D knows she would send her crown over to the side to put up some dudes and then put it back up. But we should, and I'm saying that in laughter, but it's real. And we should be constantly reminding ourselves.
It's so crazy that, not crazy, let me rephrase that. It's so awesome that you just said that, because one of the things while you were talking, and I was going backwards, I was going back to relationships, and I wanted to share this with our sisters, is when we talk about positioning ourselves in relationships and operating in wisdom and integrity and character, a lot of times we'll get into these relationships where we are putting our crowns aside, mm-hmm. because we're operating according to the request of who we're in a relationship with. And so we know we might need to be standing a certain way, or we need to be operating a certain way. We need to be positioning ourselves a certain way. And instead, we succumb to, well, you know what, this is the relationship I'm in. This person is my leader.
Yes.
This person, I need to follow this person. This person is going to be, this person is my husband. This person is going to be my husband. You know what I'm saying? And that becomes our, what guides us, instead of making sure that no matter through everything, like you just said, through everything, that God is guiding us. And so we lose our footing, we lose our positioning,
yeah.
And we're wondering, how do we end up here in this particular position? And it does, you know, it's not right because it doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, everything about it is going against the grain in you.
But
everything
you know.
About it is going against the course in you. You're off kilter, you're off center, you're bitter, you're upset. You don't even operate the same. You're not even the same person anymore.
Yeah.
And so when you become all emotional, and I'm saying that about relationships, but you can take that again and you can look at it all across the board. You can look at it when it comes to the economy. You can look at it when it comes to your job. You can look at it when it comes to your children.
Yes.
You know, you might used to have fun with your children all the time. Go out on dates or just, you know, go out and have fun with your children. And then all of a sudden, everybody just go into their room. Everybody closing their door. When you wake up in the morning, you cranky because you're not positioning yourself. A lot of times as parents, we lose hold of the parenting part in order to be friends, you know, or we start backing up and backfilling instead of, when you know they should be home at 10 o'clock and you let them come in at 11, and you let them come in at 11 again and 11 again, and now that 11 has turned to 1, and you're wondering how it got to 1, and now you're mad and you arguing with them and they arguing with you instead of you holding your ground the way that you were supposed to hold your ground in the first place.
Yes.
And I take that, and that's why I'm saying it works in relationships. It works all across the board.
It's
because you're supposed to hold your ground. You're supposed to position yourself in order to receive all the resources and tools. When you position yourself, what happens is you line up.
Alignment.
It's an alignment. And so you line up with the things that are supposed to occur, the things, the goodness that God has for you. And it won't be that there isn't any rough times, but throughout the rough times, you will experience the joy of God. And so you won't be moved by what's going on around you. You know, what's going on in your life can't move you, because the only thing that moves you is God. And when I say it can't move you, it can't sway you to be upset. It can't sway you to be sad. What happens is you'll find that you are operating out of integrity, character, because you're not moved and swayed by the things that are going on around you, because the word of God and what God has called you to do moves you. So when your kids come crying to you, well, everybody else gets to do it, how come I can't do it? You're not moved by it.
Yeah.
Because you're called to parent them a certain way, because that's what God has put you in a position to do. And so they can't move you. And so when that man or that woman, if men are listening, comes along in your life and they're like, well, I want you to do this for me, or no, you're my woman, so I need you to do this for me, and you know you shouldn't be doing it, you won't be moved by it. You won't be swayed by it, because you're remembering to operate in the way that God has called you to operate.
And that's good. That is so good, because not only that, you know, that's not being moved by emotion.
Yeah.
The other thing with that is this. We got to be very spiritually sensitive in this season. And I say that to say is because the devourer is slick.
Mm-hmm.
It's slick. We heard Bible stories. And the difference between Bible story and what maybe really was the truth, you know, there's some debate about, you know, because we heard Bible stories that spoke about an apple in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it is when you really get into the Bible, it was a fruit. It never was specified if that was an apple.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about Satan, and we see a snake, but see, he wasn't cursed into a snake until after the event, but in the tree, as he's talking to her, it shows a snake.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wonder if what she's seen. You know how somebody breaks in somebody's house, somebody is dead, and then the people come, CSI comes, and they begin to do their investigation, and they're looking for positioning and fingerprints, and they're trying to see if other things are out of order. And one of the ways they know to immediately start looking at maybe family members as friends is because there was no intrusion. There was no no windows were broke, no doors was broke, the lock. So they said it seems like it was somebody she knew or somebody
inside
he
job.
Knew. It was an inside job. And I almost wonder in the Garden of Eden if it wasn't an inside job. And what I mean by that, because we women, you know how we are. You see a spider or something, you running. I ain't fit to sit up and have no conversation with you. You know, if a spider raised up on the wall and all of a sudden turn around and start talking to you, you running. I'm going, and especially if I got a husband ain't for it, I'm running and telling you, ooh, we got to go. This spider start talking. So I almost wonder if whatever that was wasn't beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't give the illusion of this is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a sense of acceptance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I believe that whatever that was she was talking to in the garden that convinced her it was okay to be like God, if it wasn't a beautiful light of color, the sounds that was coming out this thing's mouth, because it said that the devil was one of the most beautiful angels in heaven, and he had a voice that would make you just fall out in worship. So how we don't know that that's not what appeared to her, the beauty of these lungs that could just speak to the heart of this woman.
Exactly.
I'm saying this to say that don't think for 1 minute, because God's word said ain't nothing new up under the sun. The same deception that happened in the Garden of Eden is the same deception that's happening in the world today. Don't be deceived by the subtleness of the enemy and or the bluntness now, because he ain't really even that subtle no more. Because we feel comfortable sitting up watching TV shows with our whole family in the house and somebody having sex and sex between two men and two women.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is his subtleness has changed our hearts towards the things of God. The things that used to would bother us don't bother us no more. We become numb. And what happens is that when we keep doing something that God told us not to do, he turns us over to a reprobate mind. We no longer have enough a sensitivity about it. We're no longer convicted about that thing. And that's why people could shack up. That's why people could keep having sex outside of marriage. That's why people could keep cheating the system, you know, cheating on their taxes or whatever it is you do. It's no condemnation. We all have been there. We all have been there. Some of us are still there. Some of us are growing in areas. So definitely no condemnation. But just know that that when we do these things, it's not God.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy has got us convinced through all his beauty. Because, ooh, it feel good. Ooh, that feel good. I know this feel too good for it not be right. I'm going to make her my wife. So it don't matter. It don't matter that we're sleeping together because I'm going to marry her anyway. Or it don't matter if we're sleeping together because we're going to get married. That's a lie from the pits of hell, and guess what? God's grace is sufficient. But when we operate in sin, it's like an umbrella that we could walk out in the rain with God's grace. And what it does is it eliminates us from getting
wet.
Yeah, wet. We don't get affected by the weather, whether it's winds or snow or storm. But when we do things that's out of order, it causes us to come up from up under that umbrella. So now we're subjected to the things that's going to happen.
The conditions of the weather.
Mm-hmm. Nabal was subjected to getting killed. He got killed because he was totally
out of order.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying don't allow the enemy to get you. In this season, it's a time of sensitivity, and we need to be sensitive to what God has given us. And I really want to say this, and it just dropped in my spirit, my heart, because I'm a single woman and I'm desiring God for a husband. I'm not looking, I'm not out there dating and all that. And I mean, I ain't saying nothing wrong with dating, but I'm believing God for a husband. And this is a time for me that I feel more than ever that I got to hold on to who God's called me to be. I got to hold on to my purity. You know, not because I'm better than, not any of that, but because I want God's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to stay so sensitive that when the wrong person comes,
mm-hmm.
disguised as a sheep,
mm-hmm.
that I'll immediately be able to smell through my spiritual senses the smell of a wolf.
Amen.
So we are, gosh. We are coming towards the end of our show, and this is normally a time where, I don't know, Minister LaDonna, do you have something else to say? This is normally a time where we would ask our listening audience, those of you that's listening in, if you have a question or comment about tonight's show. I think tonight's show was dynamic.
Amen.
On fire.
Amen.
I mean, just on fire. Just so much. I don't care if nobody else did nothing. I got some stuff. Now, I'm full, so that means I got to go home. Get in my little quiet time and let the Holy Spirit minister some stuff to me, because some revelations came out of tonight.
You know, again, the thing that I would share is that I would hope that our listeners walk away with is, like you said, sensitivity to the Spirit and making sure that you're recognizing your position and you're positioning yourself, that you are positioning yourself to be in alignment to receive what we all say, Lord, I want you to bless me. Lord, I want you to show me what it is you want me to do. I want to follow your direction. I want to follow your guidance. Position yourself to be able to follow. You can't follow with your back turned. So if you're looking at something else, doing something else, submitting to something else, you can't even see when God moves. The only way that you can follow is by aligning yourself, looking at him, keeping your eyes focused on him. And if you keep your eyes focused on him, there's nothing in this world that can move you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that can sway you to the left, nothing that can sway you to the right. When you brought up the Garden of Eden and talked about Eve, has she stayed focused on God? Who created the voice of beauty? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So God's voice had to be even more beautiful. And so when she took her focus off of God and started responding to that
don't even entertain it
beauty, responding to that thing that was entertaining to the flesh, entertaining to the emotions, entertaining to, you know, the five senses, responding to that. That became her focus. And so, again, keep your focus on God. Respond to him so that you can stay in position in life.
Ooh, girl, you fine. Ooh, you show is beautiful.
You're beautiful.
You are beautiful. And, ooh, I got to have you.
I want to marry you.
Ooh. I mean, and that's the way it comes. And
where I got this job for you, you're going to make a whole lot of money.
You know, it's, yeah, a brother, did you see that new 2016 Jag? I got a way you could get it. See, so he tempts us with what he perceives to be the desires of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes because we don't even know our true desires, it's easy to be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to be tempted. I mean, everybody wants the best. Everybody wants to be comfortable. You know, everybody wants to live in abundance. Everybody. So, but the thing is about it is, how, you know, where is it coming from?
Watch your integrity box.
Watch your integrity box. Amen. Well, tonight has just really been a blessing. It's been a great show. We love our supporters, the listening audience. If our show has been a blessing to you, we just ask. One of the things we ask, we don't ask for much. This is a free broadcast. And one of the things we ask from our listening audience, women, there's a lot of women out there hurting. And shows like this, they don't have to try to worry about a babysitter. They don't have to worry about how they're going to get to the show. All they have to do is pick up their phone and dial the number and listen in. And we're asking you, if you can, we just celebrated our year, or we're coming up for Women to Women, we're coming up on our year anniversary, December.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming up on our year anniversary. So we're asking our listening audience that's been following us, invite others. Tell others about Women to Women. We want this to just go. We want it to be known. We believe that God is doing something with Women to Women, that he's given some revelation knowledge, that he's given some truths. And we want to see women heal. We want to see women whole. It ain't just, we want the believer and the unbeliever. You got women that's believers that's in the body that's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dying. We got women that's in leadership that can't feel like they can't even go nowhere to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so busy ministering to everybody else that they don't have nobody ministering to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what Women to Women is about, being able to just come together and discuss some real women issues, some real women things that, and come up with real God solutions for these women issues. And so we just ask that you continue to support us, that you continue to tell your family and your friends about Women to Women on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific Standard Time. And we would love to hear from you. If you could think of a topic that you would like to hear us discuss, give us, you know, shoot us an email.
Yeah, a challenge that you may be going through, that you may want help with, definitely inbox us, shoot us an email. If you have any of our numbers, for those who know us intimately, text us. But we will definitely do all that we can, you know, go before God and make sure that we come back with some resources and tools that can be able to support you.
Amen. So we're going to be closing out, and we ask that you continue to tune in on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. On Mondays, on the first Monday of every month, we have Relentless Pursuit with Philandus Harris and Tamika Sanders, and that's the first Monday of every month. And then on the fourth Monday of every month, starting with this month, we're going to have minister evangelist Shamila Pennington, and she's going to be teaching a segment on parenting the fourth Monday of every month. And her show is at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Relentless Pursuit, the first Monday of every month, is at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And then we have Woman to Woman on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And then on Thursdays we have Processing the Pain with myself, Coach D, at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We love you all. Oh, one of the things I want to bring up, too, we are doing, MCD Network is collaborating with Concrete Rose Foundation, and we are doing a collection of blankets, beanies, and socks that we are starting to do collections. We have three collection days this Saturday from 10 to 3. We'll be collecting in Compton, California. Let me see here. Keep an eye on our page. We'll be posting that flyer on the page. But we have a collection time this Saturday, and then December the 5th and December the 10th, we'll be collecting. On December the 17th, we'll be going out to Skid Road and passing out these blankets, beanies, and socks to those in need. God places on your heart, if you have used blankets that's clean, beanies, socks, new or used, that's in good shape, that's clean, we would love to have them. If you don't have those items and you feel like you want to give money towards the effort, we would appreciate it. Anything, any donations are needed and accepted and appreciated. So,
and tell a friend.
And tell a friend. And also, because this is a nonprofit, if you are donating money and so forth, we could give you a receipt that you could actually utilize at the end of the year for your taxes. So, again, just keep an eye on our page for the flyer, and we'll be discussing it throughout the rest of the month or reminding you. So, again, we thank you for tuning in tonight, and have a blessed evening.
Amen. Love you guys.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life. Sing it again.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and songs.